Yes, you are listening to the John Curley, Sherry Elliker Show with that combination of news and entertainment. Andrew, I believe you know what that word is.
It's news tame.
It is news tame. And here comes Sherry. She brings the tame.
Here comes Sherry with her hot takes. Oh, yep. She's got big hands, big nipples, and hot takes. Hot tea really loves donuts and cupcakes. Oh,
yep, she loves donuts
Sherry
and cupcakes.
Also loves dogs, yep.
Dogs, not kids. All right, here you are. You ready? Ready?
Yeah, it just took a couple of days for me to forget that song, and now I'm reminded of all of the weird things about me.
There you now, but lovable is at the same time sort of.
Okay.
Woo! How about that eclipse, huh? Woo hee ho! Let's go around the room. Andrew, saw it? Didn't see it.
I was forced to see it. Yeah, my professor showed it in the middle of her class, so I had no choice.
Okay. How did your professor show it in the middle of class?
It's a lecture hall, and she put it up on the big screen.
Okay. How are you doing? Can you see anything?
No.
Good. Joe, did you see it? Not see it?
Didn't see anything. It's too cloudy here.
Okay. Sherry, you were the closest to it.
I didn't have the protective eyewear that I needed, so I was sitting at my house, and I kept waiting for the room to get dark. Nothing. It was just no change at all.
Let me ask you, were the lights on where you're waiting for the room to get dark?
No, not really. No, it was.
Sherry. Pretty simple concept. Lights are on in the room, and you're waiting for it to get dark in the room.
Well, no, I can see the windows, and I'm waiting for the sky to turn dark, and it never did. It never did anything.
Okay. No. You feel ripped off?
A little bit. How about you?
I didn't see anything, didn't care at all. My daughter is in Austin, and she sent video of people sitting around cheering when it happened, and she said the only comment she could hear is somebody said, "Oh, my God, this is like when I turn the brightness down on my phone."
Thrilling.
There you go. Well, apparently there's a lot of cultural significance to what happened a few hours ago
surrounding the eclipse. There are also some superstitions, and these beliefs go back centuries.
Well, reporter Marco Ramirez spoke to a spiritual expert to learn more about the superstitions and just how common they are.
Ramirez, go out and talk to some guy who's kind of a fruitcake, who's got a bunch of theories. Okay, we're on it right now.
They do have a strong connection with the solar eclipse, but most of it seems to be more like a fear factor.
Jody Blackburn has done countless spiritual readings for people across the valley and the world since 1979. He says throughout the decades, people have come to him to prepare for an eclipse, specifically for pregnant women.
In some cases, because I've read for other people in other countries, you know, sometimes they won't even cook certain at certain times, you know, when the eclipse is going on.
These practices date back.
That's the excuse at our house where we never have any food. Yeah. Eclipse coming.
Me too.
By the way, apparently it's going to do something to your baby's
face. Back to the Mayans, who believed during an eclipse, a bite was being taken out of the moon or the sun. And if a pregnant woman looked at the eclipse, a bite would be taken from her baby's face.
Just one less baby to sacrifice for the Mayans.
Blackburn says he's never seen a child born after an eclipse with any deformities or disabilities. He says having people move away from these beliefs is a hard thing to do.
Imagine that. Hey, what happened to your baby? Born during an eclipse, half its face chewed off, right? But this guy's never seen any evidence of it, but still the superstitions continue.
The mind is very powerful, and sometimes when you're being raised around those belief systems, it's very hard to disconnect from. But we see it in families where some of them just don't believe in it, and they just disconnect and they follow their own field, and that's okay too.
Okay, all right, fine.
Yeah, Costa Rica, the women have to cover themselves in black because they're afraid that their babies, if they're pregnant, they're afraid that their babies will be born with an eclipse birthmark.
Ooh, okay.
Which would be kind of cool, actually.
Depending on where it is.
Where it is, yeah, I know.
Right. It's shaped like some sort of weird, you know, marital aid. You don't want that on the side of your face.
No. No. No, it's a good rule to follow.
Thank you. By the way, this, according to some other psychiatrist or psychologist or whatever, this is Seattle Times I don't know who wrote it originally. They say that this is great for the world, or America's anyway, because it's going to unite all of us, that we're all going to be united by this experience. I think we pretty much wrung the truth out of that by the fact that none of us have any sort of emotional change to this. But they're saying it, when everybody experiences something together, it's a sense of awe and wonderment, which then unites us with this thing that there's a power greater than what's happening here on Earth. Or I guess that's generally the idea.
Well, I think there's something to that. I really do. When people experience something collectively that is kind of beyond what they can explain, it is very powerful. But they've gone so far as to say that it's an ideal tool for trying to reduce political polarization. So I don't know. I'm not sure. But they say this sense of awe is destabilizing. So what it does is it sort of shakes up your whole concept of humanity and things like that, and that can bond us together.
Like the last episode of MASH, or when Mary Tyler Moore went off the air. Cheers.
Yeah, exactly. Or Seinfeld, or any of those things that we all watched and felt this sense of togetherness. The Sopranos.
Yeah. Or when everybody was trying to guess, was the dress blue or was the dress gold?
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
I think they united all of us. And the Ice Bucket Challenge, just to name a few. I'm getting all misty-eyed just thinking about them. Yes.
Talk about awestruck. Wow.
Or in the new, when the Apple iPhone 8 came out.
Wow. I just didn't even want to go back to real life. It was so big. It was like, how can I ever return to what's ordinary after this iPhone thing?
But I've got that 7 with the cracked screen that I can't read anything off of.
Yeah.
I think that is true. I think we're united by experience, but that is true of anything, whether it's something like this or people are united by, snow. Talk about like, oh, it's going to snow, and everybody talks about snow, or some big weather thing event that happens. Oh my gosh, it's so cold enough for you, hot enough for you. Everybody's experiencing. We're all in it together because it is unifying. The weather, and I guess astrological significance, all connect us because it's beyond our power. We're all experiencing at the same time. So I get that, but this idea of all of a sudden, some guy in a MAGA hat and somebody with, purple hair shaved in the side of their head and they got, piercings all over, are suddenly going to start hugging one another. I don't see that happening.
Well, here's the other side of it.
What's that?
Well, this study was done in 2017 after the last eclipse, and they found all of these different things, but everything wore off within 6 weeks. So this sense of wonder and awe pretty much doesn't last very long.
Do you think we could ever do that thing they tried to? Joe, you might remember this. I know Andrew won. Hands Across America.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I worked for a woman that was completely involved in that. And it was, she was so into it. It was kind of weird.
For those of you born after 1970, thin, small group of you hanging on, you old folks. You all remember it. The idea was there would be a chain of people that would reach from one part of America all the way across to the other side. All of us holding hands. Americans joining hands across the fruited plains. I think it broke down somewhere outside of Altoona, Pennsylvania, didn't it?
Yeah, something happened where somebody broke the chain, but it was still regarded a pretty big success because, they got a lot of people to do it. I forget what the point was. Do you remember? Which sort of means it is a failure.
I think it was all for us to drink more Coca-Cola or something. I don't remember. Something was tied into it. Yeah.
It was the same charity that produced the We Are the World, I guess the Michael Jackson song. 5.5 million people participated, but it was broken in many places, particularly in the southwestern desert.
Yeah, because who wanted to stand out there?
Nobody's going to do that.
Or knee deep in the Mississippi, the mighty Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So it broke down only out there near the desert?
It says particularly in the southwestern desert. Probably it's May 25th, so pretty hot in some of those areas. It says most of the broken chains were filled by ropes, ribbons, and banners.
Oh, so, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I would participate in that. I wouldn't want to get a guy with a sweaty hand. You got a sweaty hand guy or a sweaty hand girl, and she's really self-conscious because she knows her hand is extra sweaty, and then you're holding it, then you have to act like it's no big deal, and then you kind of just are, you know, swinging it to try to get some air flow underneath it.
Or reach into your pocket so you can wipe it off.
Right. You're like, how much longer we have to stand here? That's the other thing that didn't make any sense. It's like, okay, are we waiting for people in other states to, like, cling on? And then somebody's going to pull us all over? It seems kind of half-baked. I would have participated. What was the year again, Joe?
85. No, 86.
Oh, 85. Oh, yeah. I was busy. I was busy that day.
Yeah.
They have. There's a theme song. You want to hear it?
Sure. Here we go.
Give me your hand. This sky, so serene.
Oh boy.
Felt the kiss.
Sounds like one of our AI songs.
Yeah.
And this earth, oh, wow.
Michael McDonald.
Sweet.
Who's that?
Cradles us all.
Oh, are these solos that we're supposed
they
to
must
know
be
people?
Famous people, yeah.
Sure you will.
I saw Kenny Rogers in the video.
Oh, he's in there, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
High fives.
Wow, shut that off so suddenly.
Sorry. Singer was Joe Sarasano, Sandy Farina, and the band Toto.
That was the backup band on We Are the World.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, thanks, Nate.
You got it.
I feel kind of united.
Get back to your maps. Yeah, that is didn't quite take off. If people would do it today, probably people would do that, I guess, if there was something in it. They were setting some sort of world record. It was a TikTok thing. Dogs are apparently affected by this, or pets affected. Sherry, did you notice anything happening with your dog?
No. And in fact, they say it's a little bit of a myth to think that pets are affected. Animals in general can be affected, but the most that you're going to find with an animal is, you know, what I think it's called sundowner syndrome or something. When the sun starts to set, there are certain dogs that are really affected by that. They get a little crazy. That could happen because it's dark when it's not supposed to be. Other than that, nothing.
I saw that tortoises will begin mating.
Oh, well, we can always use more tortoises. Yeah, they say.
Yes, go ahead.
You know, I mean, there was a bunch of studies that they did where they went in to a zoo, and this was several, I guess, weeks before the last eclipse, and in 2017. So they sent 40 people to watch 12 animal exhibits, and they watched a few days before. It's sort of funny. Birds went to the trees. Gorillas marched around in their den. What else was there?
The tortoises started mating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to see that they mate 7 times a year. So it's about average American married couple. And it lasts anywhere between 15 and 20 minutes. And they move pretty slowly. So that must seem like an eternity for the female.
Yeah.
But apparently that was the thing. Oh yeah, head over the tortoise exhibit because they probably just get it on when the eclipse happens. I watched a bird eat an eye out of my fish, so maybe that's also part of it today.
Or maybe maybe just gross. The other said that the other one was that giraffes were running in circles, but this is my favorite one. Bears couldn't care less. They had no interest. Yeah. They weren't affected at all.
Okay. Well, listen, it's come and gone, and I don't know if we're going to be necessarily united. But again, as my daughter said, she didn't feel anything, Dad. other than she just felt grossed out by this guy who had a weird blanket right next to hers. That's what she texted me. So there's the update from Austin, Texas.
Got it. Yeah. That's her experience. And
that was one of like the prime spots, right?
What's that? It was. Yeah. So it really got dark out there. Really, really dark.
My niece went to Cleveland to see it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, only reason.
All right, one last thing. The Powerball, the single ticket for the winner for the $1.3 billion Powerball ticket was sold in Portland, Oregon. The person has not come forward yet, I assume, at this point. We don't know who this winner is.
Don't know. They have a year to come forward. So maybe, maybe not. They haven't announced the person yet.
Okay. And then their life descends into a living hell as cousins come out of the woodwork to claim some part of it.
Well, it's only $622 million if they take the one-time payout.
Is that after taxes? Then they get $621 million, and then they take the taxes off of that thing?
No, I think that's after taxes.
That's net-net that you get that, $620? Okay, yeah. That's barely enough to live on.
I've tried, and I'll tell you, it is almost impossible.
It's like, pick up a few. By the way, I haven't heard you on the radio talk about your dog's fecal matter recently. What happened to that sponsor, Sherry? Where are you? Speaking of money,
I don't know what happened. Perhaps they were afraid that Stella was having frowny piles of poop.
It's because you wouldn't say poo with enough enthusiasm.
Yeah, I know. I did get in trouble for my. I had poo apprehension.
That's the problem. All right, well, good to know. Good to know. And Paul Harvey?
And now you know the rest of the story.
All right, good. I watched the documentary while flying back from Atlanta, and I thought, I have to get to it. It's a bunch of scientists saying this climate change stuff, look out. Just, it's a hoax. It's a scam. I thought, I got to find the North Star. Like, who could I ask that would know, well, you know, this or that? And I thought, who's got the greatest voice in radio? Let's get Cliff Mass on. And I know he watched the documentary, so we'll find out what's really behind it. Are all the numbers true? Is it really CO2? And can we control it all? Cliff's going to put the entire matter to rest in 8 minutes. I watched the documentary over the weekend. Welcome back over to the Junk Really Sherry Ellicker Show. And I watched the documentary about 22 minutes long, and I'm like, okay, now I don't know what. So I got to find somebody, like the North Star, the guy that we can hang our hat on this thing. The movie, the documentary is called Climate, the movie. I thought, oh, we got to get Cliff Mass on, professor of atmospheric science there, University of Washington, Cliff Mass. And then I said to Joe, hey, call Cliff, see if he's seen it. Cliff Mass, did you watch the documentary?
I have seen it. I watched it last week.
Okay, good. Oh, there's my North Star. Sherry, here we go. We're in good hands.
Okay, good.
So, Cliff, basically the documentary says that if you look at over the last 500 million years and you look at the science, it's been warmer. We're actually coming into the last 50 million years of like a mini ice age. It's cooler now. If you look at the entire amount of temperatures long term, and then they challenge where the thermometers are, rural areas, urban areas, they challenge those temperatures. And then they start to look at CO2. They say, well, the temperatures go up and then CO2 goes up. It's not CO2 goes up and then temperatures go up. And then they get into the politics of it all. And they say, listen, there's money driving all of this. The science is all being driven by money. Government says, go find that climate change is having an effect. You'd find it so that you can get paid. And then they get into the politics of it, that now at this point, there are millions and millions and millions of people that are all employed by the existential threat of climate change. And there's no stopping it now. And that's basically sort of the summing of it. And then the guys that they have on talking about it say how their lives have been destroyed professionally because they're not going along. They're heretics. They're deniers. They're calling this stuff out, and they get blackballed. So what did you find in this documentary that was, that's true, and that's they're kind of, you know, shading the truth on some of the stuff, or at least only picking and choosing the facts that they wanted? What do you think?
Well, I would say maybe 70% to 80% of it was reasonable. And the basic underlying fact that they're pushing, or idea that they're trying to support, is that climate change, you know, due to mankind, is being exaggerated and hyped. And quite frankly, that is really true. I mean, there's so many claims in the press, like the Seattle Times, for instance, that are simply wrong, that they exaggerate the effects of increasing CO2 in the atmosphere, claiming every major weather event or whatever is due to climate change produced by man. And so that's, most of that is not correct. Most of it's exaggerated. And that's a major thesis of this movie. And about that, it's correct. And they have some very good people on it. Steve Coonan, for instance, who wrote a book about the topic. He's quoted a lot, and he's quite right. So there's a lot I like about the movie. I mean, there are some things that I thought weren't quite as good, like, you know, the dinosaurs and the fact it was warmer in the past, and because if you go back millions of years ago, it was warmer than it is now, and therefore we don't have to worry about climate change, that kind of stuff. That I thought was kind of weak. But the basic underlying message is that we are being, I don't know if lied to is the right word, but being exaggerated to and being played to some degree. And and the fact that, you know, people that are in my business and the research community, you know, there is we're being tweaked by the availability of money and other positives that definitely skews us in a certain direction. There's truth.
One of the scientists said, what if, you know, he said, well, what if that the knob that's being turned, or we believe is being, which is CO2, that we turn it down, we will control the climate. Because what if that isn't true? Think of all the lives that, and all the industries that would be affected by that. If all of a sudden we found that, no, it's actually because of solar flares. It has something to do with the clouds created through the Milky Ways or passing through that. What if it isn't something that we can control? Think of all of the industry and everything involved, from them telling us, you know, what shoes, what jeans we can wear, how we can cook, you know, whether or not we can eat beef, you know, windmills and EV cars, all of it would just, the entire thing would just fall apart, right? That we're too far down the road. We have to keep going and spending trillions and trillions of dollars. He said, what if you find out it's not CO2 and it's something else? Then what? We have to believe it's this existential threat so that we all are being controlled.
Well, it's not like the science, excuse me, is a complete mystery. I mean, we do have an understanding of what CO2 does. And, you know, the primary peer-reviewed literature is not exaggerating things as much as being portrayed by the media and by certain politicians. I mean, that's the truth. Natural variability is very important. The system, you know, the system would have all kinds of extreme weather and other events without human beings being involved. That's true, too. So, you know, we are investing too much on a problem right now that is much more minor than being portrayed by the media and some politicians. See, that I think that is the truth, and that's what this movie is mainly about, that there is an industry that's exaggerating things. And in fact, it's more than that. It's almost like another religion that exists today. And this is sort of this earth religion that has kind of taken over some quarters. And you know, I think there's truth to that.
Cliff, what do you think is mostly driving this? Is it the government, media, climate activists, all of the above? But is there one thing a little bit more than another that seems to keep pushing this into our schools, into everybody's mindset about what they can cannot do with their lives?
Well, that's an interesting question. Why are they exaggerating and hyping things? What's in it for them? And I think it's on multiple levels. Number one, it's like a new religion. I mean, this really is religious. And you can tell that when people don't believe what they believe, you call them a denier, right? Yeah. Nowhere else in science do you call people deniers, right? I mean, that riffs off the Holocaust. It's obscene to use that term. But they feel they can do it because you're going against their religion, so you're a denier. You don't deny gravity or something else. It's only used for this. So it's very religious. I think people have a hole in their lives. You know, the conventional religions have weakened, and so this is like a new religion for folks. So I think that's part of it. The other thing is, I think that, you know, certain political groups see this as a way of getting control. I mean, this is a control mechanism, because to deal with climate change, you have to take over everything. many aspects of the government, energy production, industry. It really gives you the leverage on power. And I think there's an attraction to that as well. So I think that's another reason that's pushing this thing.
Right. So in part of the argument, when they get into the politics side of it, they say, well, you have a combination of people that are anti-capitalists that don't want you to have a whole bunch of stuff. And then you have, on the other side, you know, capitalists who like the fact that the government is stepping in and saying, you have to get rid of your car. Now you have to buy a $60,000 EV and you have to get rid of this and have to get rid of that. So then there's money pushing towards the elimination of choice between the consumer and the product. And then the folks on the Marxist side that are like, are saying, no, we want you to base everybody to live, you know, equally miserably by having central command and control over all choices that we make. The difference with religion is just because my religion says you can't eat meat on Friday, it doesn't mean no one can eat meat on Friday. People right. choose these religions and follow these religions based upon faith or, you know, their commitment to God or something else. But it's not forcing somebody. It's like living under Sharia law, right? We're not living that way. But in this way, this is a sort of a radical Sharia law that is taking away everything. So we hear that I won't be able to buy a gas-powered car in 2032 because someone believes that CO2 raises temperatures. But the science in this documentary, it shows, no, temperatures go up and then CO2 goes up. It's not the inverse. Yeah. If we can lower CO2, we lower temperatures. And they even show the science of the last 50 million years, how much CO2 is available in the Earth. It's one of its lowest it's been in a long time.
Right. There's some weaknesses to that. I mean, we do know that increasing CO2 will cause warming. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of doubt about that. That's basic radiation physics. And even someone like Steve Coonan doesn't doubt that. Okay. The question is how much. The other thing is there is what you'd probably call Marxism involved in here, right? I mean, there is a political angle that is very clear cut amongst many. The irony of it is that they're willing to hurt the poorest people. You know, their gas taxes and other things have made, you know, gas very expensive. So the poorest people, the ones who suffer the most. And interestingly, the hypocrisy is huge. The people that are wealthy fly everywhere. No one flies more than climate scientists, by the way. They're the ones who like to get on the jet airplanes more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge amount of hypocrisy here and a lack of caring for poor people or people who are less privileged. So there's a right. lot of problems with this.
I know your time is valuable. I just want to ask you, if we hold over the break, or maybe you could answer very quickly, we just hold off on traffic for 1 second. Does this affect your professional standing? Do people say to you, Cliff Mass, stop that, or we're not going to fund you, or you're going to lose your job? Because I know you battled with this a couple of years ago. Do you still have people that dismiss you?
Oh, well, the answer is definitely yes. There's a lot of pressure not to speak out. You know, or not to tell the truth about things. But fortunately, I have tenure, and that is somewhat protective. And, you know, I'm here for a while, so I have a blog that they're a little bit afraid of. But, for instance, the Seattle Times won't talk to me anymore. Ever since I criticized them, they will not speak to me. So that's how they get you. They try to push you aside and silence you. That's definitely there.
Okay. Well, you're not missing that many in the Seattle Times. Cliff Mass, appreciate your time. And I'm so glad you got a chance to watch the documentary without me saying, hey, please go watch it. So thank you. Get back to doing the good stuff. Mango, Sherry. Mango's a good food to eat while you're doing radio. Following it up with something chewy that gets stuck in your throat.
Oh, so Triscuits are the persona non grata now?
Ate them all. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
I would go get some guacamole from Chipotle, but I don't want to get shot. I'm assuming that Chipotle's like, I'll do that and some sauce and this and that. And then you say,
Chipotle.
Yeah, and then there's some guac on there, and that's when the guy goes, that's a dime extra.
Well, okay? it's a little more than that. And yes, you can get the whole garden at Chipotle too.
Yes, so. You can. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you.
But yeah, it's like $2.25 or $2.50 for a dollop of guacamole extra.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty expensive.
Cause it used to be like, it's a dollar more. I always think to myself, like, is this guy assessing by looking how I'm dressed to assume, like, at that point, like, whoa, what do you think I am, huh? John D. Rockefeller or something? Skip the guac, man. Yeah. Well, anyway, this guy goes in there. I don't know what the fight was about, but...
Chaos at Chipotle.
Also,
a customer shoots an employee.
It was loud, and then we all just ran out because it was, yeah.
So
I
loud.
Mean, wouldn't expect to, I wasn't really thinking about there was going to be a shot, but.
I would hope not.
There was.
It happened shortly before 7 o'clock Friday night at the Chipotle on Evergreen in Southfield. Witnesses say it all started out as an argument over food. A source close to the investigation says it was specifically over guacamole.
I was just eating a bowl, and I heard shouting, and then...
Oh, did he get the bowl that you can eat? I love that thing. I wish all food could be served in something. The plate, the bowl, the fork, the cup. Because he was eating a bowl. The edible bowl. You ever that one, Sherry?
Oh, I know. Like,
why wouldn't you? Like, the guy's like, yeah. Would you like it in the edible bowl or the plate? Edible.
Like a taco salad.
Oh, yeah. That's the best.
Uh-oh,
I look over. They're arguing. One of the workers went to the back. I don't know why. And then.
To take a break. Because even though you don't need one, they make you take it.
When he was in the back, the customer walked around the counter, tried to grab his food and put it in a bag. And then the employee came back and they started fighting. And then we heard a gunshot and just ran out as quick as we could.
The employee, a 21-year-old man, shot in the leg but expected to survive.
I would hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. At least he's got a story.
Yeah,
he's got to be employee of the week, right? Takes one in the leg for guacamole.
I'm just wondering if the other guy got to finish his bowl. Or did he have to leave the cup?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Yeah, by the way, did you tell Cliff Mass, who I respect immensely, to say that Sherry asked an interesting question, Joe? Did you gild the lily on that?
That's an interesting question.
1,000%.
No, it's not an interesting. No, it's. I want to know if I was set up on that
one. Nope.
No, because he wouldn't do that to that guy. He might do
it. I've never done that to anyone.
Now, that's true.
I rolled my eyes hard.
I saw that.
I saw that.
Yeah, I see. I see you.
Yeah,
psycho fans.